Good day, and welcome to the AAON, Inc. second quarter 2022 earnings conference call. All participants will be in a listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. To ask a question, you may press star then one. Please note that this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Joe Mondillo with Director of Investor Relations. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, operator, and good afternoon, everyone. The press release announcing our second quarter 2022 financial results was issued after market close today and can be found on our corporate website, aaon.com. Joining me on the call this afternoon is Gary Fields, our President and CEO, and Rebecca Thompson, our CFO and Treasurer. Shortly, I'll be handing the call off to Rebecca for her to go through the second quarter results. Gary will then provide further insight on the quarter, along with commentary on our outlook, and then we'll open up the call for Q&A. Prior to that, though, we begin with our customary forward-looking statement policy. During the call, any statement presented dealing with information that is not historical is considered forward-looking and made pursuant to the safe harbor provisions of the Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1995, the Securities Act of 1933, sorry, and the Securities and Exchange Act of 1934, each as amended. As such, it is subject to the occurrence of many events outside of AAON's control and that could cause AAON's results to differ materially from those anticipated. You are all aware of the inherent difficulties, risks, and uncertainties in making predictive statements. Our press release and Form 10-Q that we filed this afternoon details some of the important risk factors that may cause our actual results to differ from those in our predictions. Please note that we do not have the duty to update our forward-looking statements. With that, I'll turn over the call to Rebecca.
Thank you, Joe. I'd like to begin by discussing the comparative results of the three months ended June 30, 2022 versus June 30, 2021. Net sales increased 45.1% to $208.8 million from $143.9 million. The addition of BasX sales of $24.6 million was the largest contributing factor to our growth. As noted in our earnings release, revenue synergies from this acquisition have materialized faster than expected and are expected to have significant growth in the coming year. Another contributing factor to the total sales increase was the growth of our AAON Coil Products segment realized. Organic unit volumes at the segment increased 43.3% due to the new manufacturing capacity added to our Longview, Texas facility in early 2021, as well as strong market demand for the electric-powered split systems this facility produces. Our gross profit increased 12.5% to $47.4 million from $42.1 million. As a percentage of sales, gross profit was 22.7% compared to 29.3% in the second quarter of 2021. The contraction in gross margin was primarily due to higher cost of materials. While the cost of some materials has stabilized, we continue to see volatility in the cost of our component parts, and we continue to experience supply disruptions that create additional costs to the business. On a positive note, gross margin improved sequentially throughout the quarter as we worked through lower price backlog and began to see some of our higher price backlog hit the production floor. While we expect supply disruptions will continue through the second half of the year, we believe pricing will offset those costs and help drive gross margin expansion in the second half of the year. Selling, general, and administrative expenses increased 59.4% to $26.9 million from $16.9 million in the second quarter of 2021. As a percentage of sales, SG&A increased to 12.9% from 11.7% in the second quarter of 2021. Excluding BasX, SG&A expenses increased 25.6% and totaled 11.5% of sales, down 20 basis points from a year ago. We continue to do a good job at controlling these expenses, particularly in the inflationary environment we are in. Income from operations decreased 18.9% to $20.5 million or 9.8% of sales from $25.2 million or 17.5% of sales in the second quarter of 2021. Our effective tax rate increased to 20.8% from 18.3%. The company's estimated annual 2022 effective tax rate, excluding discrete events, is expected to be approximately 25%. Net income decreased to $15.9 million, or 7.6% of sales, compared to $20.6 million, or 14.3% of sales, in the second quarter of 2021. Diluted earnings per share decreased by 21.1% to 30 cents per share from 38 cents per share. Turning to the balance sheet, you'll see that we had a working capital balance of $191.2 million versus $131.3 million at December 31, 2021. Unrestricted cash totaled $17.6 million at June 30, 2022. Our current ratio is approximately 2.4 to 1. Capital expenditures for the first 6 months of the year were $27.2 million. We now expect capital expenditures for the year to be approximately $73.3 million. The reduction from our previous guidance of $100.4 million is due to our existing facilities finding ways to increase capacity under the current square footage, allowing us to push out some of our other capacity expansion projects. The company had stock repurchases of $6.9 million during the 6 months ended June 30, 2022. Shareholders' equity per diluted share is $9.09 at June 30, 2022, compared to $8.68 at December 31, 2021. I'd now like to turn the call over to our CEO and President, Gary Fields.
Good afternoon. Overall, we're happy with second quarter results. We improved production rates to record levels for the second straight quarter and shipped the most amount of product in any quarter in company history. At the same time, our backlog still increased modestly from the end of the first quarter. Demand remains strong and we continue to book slightly more than we're producing. This positions us well headed into the second half of the year. Another positive is that our lead times were relatively stable throughout the quarter and still remain well below industry average. Today, in early August, we're still booking orders for shipment in 22. I don't think anyone else in the industry is saying that. Gross margins were a little lighter than we were anticipating. Price cost was the biggest headwind to gross margins in the quarter. Difference between pricing of the equipment we ship versus the cost of materials and wages was the largest of any quarter in recent inflationary cycle. The good news is that it began to shift in a positive way in June, and we expect it will continue throughout the rest of the year. Pricing of orders in the backlog is much greater than the pricing of the orders that were shipped in the first half of the year. Furthermore, raw material prices have turned down since peaking earlier in the year, so we continue to expect substantial margin expansion in the second half of the year. We continue to face issues with supply chain. However, we're doing a very good job managing these challenges. I have to recognize our operational team for reaching record production rates for second quarter. In this environment, it is certainly very commendable. The flexibility of our custom manufacturing operations and engineering team provide us an advantage as we're able to quickly adapt to supply chain shortages better than most others in the industry. We expect this environment will be with us for a while, but if and when things normalize, we'll definitely see operational efficiencies because of the learning curve that we've gone through. As I mentioned at the top of my commentary, demand continues to remain strong. Organic orders in the first half of the year were up approximately 60%. Total backlog continues to grow on a sequential basis, and organic backlog at the end of the second quarter was up 164% from a year ago. Furthermore, June and July booking were strong. Everything we're hearing from our sales channel partners is demand remains robust. On a micro level, activity remains strong. This is also consistent to what we're seeing on a macro level. The Dodge Momentum Index, which measures the number of construction projects in the planning stages and is a 12-month leading indicator for non-residential construction spending, was at a 14-year high in its latest reading. The Architectural Billing Index, also a leading indicator for non-residential construction spending, remains above 50, indicating architectural billings continue to grow. The latest ABI report also cited that backlogs amongst architectural firms are currently at 7 months, which is extremely high in a historical perspective. The pipeline of projects in the industry is strong, and we're seeing that in non-res starts and spending data. For us, the strength remains very broad-based across all the verticals we sell into. That all said, we're aware of what is going on in the economy with rising interest rates, higher wages, supply chain, labor shortages, and we're prepared to deal with slowdown if one comes. However, at this time, we're not seeing it in the channels we monitor. I want to shift my focus to basics for a moment. This is an area of our company we're seeing tremendous growth, and I'm very proud of how this acquisition has progressed since closing on the deal in December. Through the first 6 months of the year, the deal has been accretive to earnings, and the second half is shaping up even better. The data center and clean room end markets, which make up a vast majority of their sales, are extremely strong. Pipeline of projects extends out multiple years, giving them a tremendous amount of visibility. Since acquiring the business, the revenue synergies have even surprised me. From the end of 21 to the end of the second quarter, backlog at Basics has increased nearly threefold. Furthermore, subsequent to the end of the second quarter, the business booked a single order worth $16.2 million. We plan on leveraging the capacity in our new facility in Longview to manufacture this product for Basics for this specific customer. This will not only help leverage overhead costs associated with this facility, but it'll position us better from a strategic regional manufacturing perspective. It's quite expensive to ship product from Redmond, Oregon to the East Coast. Now we can better attack that region from a pricing standpoint. When we build it in the South Central in Longview, Texas. There's other projects in the pipeline that are significant size that we are have commitments for and looking forward to getting firm purchase orders secured on those soon. This will help maximize Basics' chance of winning future work using this Longview facility to regionally assist us in deliveries. I want to touch briefly on our parts business. Parts still make up a small percentage of sales at just 7%, but it's something we've been focusing a lot on, both internally and with our channel partners. We've been having great success. Parts sales in the second quarter were up 32%. That was a quarterly record for the company. Moreover, the 32% growth was against a comp of 42% growth realized in the second quarter of 21. So compared to 2 years ago, parts sales were up 88% this past quarter. Parts generate very good gross margins for the company, so growing this business will continue to be a strong focus for us. Before finishing up and handing off the call for Q&A, I'd just like to update you on our capital investment plans. I'm sure you noticed Rebecca said that we reduced our CapEx budget for 22 by 27% compared to what we were previously targeting. This by no means is an indication of slowing growth. As I've been saying, demand is robust and we do not see material signs of a slowdown. Moreover, we continue to target double-digit organic sales growth for the next several years. The fact is, we are regularly challenging the team to look at ways of increasing production capacity and maximizing efficiency in our existing facilities. In recent history, we've done a great job with this, and we continue to do so. I want to commend a group that calls themselves Space Force. They've reallocated hundreds of thousands of square feet in all of our facilities for this. So the reduction in our 2022 CapEx budget is merely us finding ways to increase capacity in our existing space. I want to assure you, we are regularly monitoring our capacity versus our growth projections, making sure that we've got adequate room for growth. We've detailed plans over the next several years to increase capacity so we're able to continue to absorb the robust growth that we anticipate. We just took a little pause on it right now because we've discovered additional capacity in the existing facilities. So in closing, I want to reiterate, we feel very good as we head into the second half of the year. Size of the backlog, and most important, this is very important, the profitability of the backlog. We've got two price increases that we have not yet realized in the first two quarters of the year that are just right here with us in Q3 and Q4. This positions us for robust sales and earnings growth. Bookings remain strong through July. Pipeline remains very positive. So barring a severe recession, our outlook for the foreseeable future has never been stronger. I want to finish by thanking all of our employees, sales channel partners, and customers. Your support is immense and very much appreciated. So now I'll open it up for Q&A.
And we will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star then one on your touch-tone phone. If you're using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star then two. And our first question today will come from Julio Romero with Sidoti & Company. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Julio.
Thanks. Hey, good afternoon, Gary. Good afternoon, Rebecca.
Good afternoon.
So I wanted to start on the sales growth in the second quarter, the organic growth of 28%. Appreciate you giving us the 10% volume number. I was hoping you could expand on how much of the remaining 18% we can attribute to price versus mix.
Well, I don't have it broken out exactly that way. The mix, I didn't really see too much difference here. So looking at total sales, I think it was almost not quite even between organic growth, pricing, and the acquisition. The three of them are very, very close to equal percentages.
Okay. No, I appreciate that. You know, turning to basics, would love to hear you expand on the strategic benefit of, you know, manufacturing that product in Longview, and what geographic regions are you looking to potentially play offense in?
This is something that when we were looking at the acquisition, I described to the board two things that I believed would occur. One was that there were clients that really appreciated basics, knowledge, and abilities, but they just didn't have enough foundation under them if something was to go wrong. They didn't have a disaster recovery plan that made sense, particularly because they didn't have a dedicated additional facility. So I knew in my heart that when we got this company, with having the financial backing of the mothership of Aon, that these companies would be more comfortable, but also having additional manufacturing facilities. We had space both in Tulsa and Longview that we could dedicate to manufacturing basics products. So this first opportunity came up. The salesman actually worked for my former company that I was at before Aon, the one I was with for 30 years. He contacted us and said that he had a hyperscale data center client that he had been doing business with 15 years that had used Aon equipment in some of their ancillary areas, but never in the core data hall. And now that we had basics, they wanted to explore that. So we all met in Redmond, Oregon. Everything went really well. And coming out of that was that the majority of their facilities are in the Midwest and the East. So we explored the possibility. I'd already started preparing an area of the new building in Longview to manufacture this kind of equipment, and made the commitment to them that the timing was going to be good, that we could build this order there. So when you look at the whole breadth of the order, not the $16.2 million, but the whole thing that they have committed to us, then we were able to save them a significant amount in freight. A load of freight to go from Redmond, Oregon to this project is about, I think it was $8,400 versus $4,000 going from Longview to this plant. So they save $4,400 per truckload. And it takes, you can put two of these units on one truck. So it's considerable. It's considerable. Now, they have multiple facilities in the Midwest and the East that they we will build in this product. But the other thing is this product's relatively simple. It's a very custom design, but once you build the first one, then you just repeat hundreds, if not thousands of times to build this product. Well, that fits the Longview manufacturing culture very, very well. And this also allows basics to free up that space. Had they built it in Redmond, they would have used up that space there. But Redmond has the capability of building much, much more complex equipment for some of their other customers. So this was just beneficial all the way around.
Great. I appreciate that color. Any way to think about where you are with capacity utilization at Longview?
With the commitment we have from this client, plus two other clients that are similarly positioned that are in very late stages of discussion, this could put the new Longview facility at close to 100% utilization for 23 and 24. One of our clients is talking to us about exclusively delivering to them in 24. They want to secure that capacity. So if we secure these clients, that, again, I'm very hopeful that we're in the late stages of negotiations with them, then that would pretty much tap out what that building could do. But that leaves space in Tulsa that we can use. We have a good amount of space here that we could build the same product. Of course, Redmond can still build it. So we're not tapped out in growth. Just that one facility might be. Well, when we built that building, we started in production there February of 2021. So we really finished it about January 1st of 21. We built it with three sides that were permanent tilt walls and one side that was a temporary metal wall. And the idea was that when we saw that we were going to use up the capacity or get close to it, then we can double the building. So we're well prepared. We could probably stand that up in about 18 to 20 months. And if we secure these other orders before the end of the year, which is very likely that we will, then we'll very likely start construction on the other half of that building right away so that we don't end up at 100% utilization before we get the new building finished.
Great. Thanks very much. I'll pass it on.
And again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star then one. Our next question will come from Brent Thielman with D.A. Davidson. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Brent.
Hey, good afternoon. Gary, good to hear, you know, the gross margins you see coming back here nicely in the second half. I just trying to get a sense on the quarter itself, just relative to the first quarter, you were down a bit, especially looks like in the sort of core business. Is there a way to kind of bucket, you know, what's the difference in terms of the quarter-on-quarter comparison? Because I would have thought you'd see a little better comparison relative to the first quarter.
Yeah, it's actually fairly vivid. The price increase that we put into effect January 1st, we had so much pull forward on that that we ended up with almost two full quarters of production needs. And so we had, we'll say, a fixed price through the first two quarters. There was no real appreciation of significance of the price that was on the plant floor. But we continued to have materials increase, freight being one of them, components being the other, throughout the quarter. So I think our annual labor increase went into effect right at the very first of the second quarter. So that was significant because we have an annual labor adjustment across the board on the company. This past year, we had a labor adjustment first part of Q4 because cost of living was going up so much. We wanted to make sure we secured our people. You know, so I'm not remorseful about that for this reason. How many manufacturers have you talked to that have got a headcount that's plus 20% versus a year ago? Not a lot. So, you know, this one key issue that we spent more money on our labor, but that allowed us to get this production, which helped, you know, with absorption of some overhead, but it did come at a penalty. Right about probably the second week of June, we started getting this higher priced work on the plant floor. And so we saw good significant improvement in June, and that's why we're quite confident that we've got this improvement because our costs are relatively stable starting, you know, in second quarter. They stabilized, and they have not worsened any, but our sale price is going up considerably. You know, that January 1st price increase was 8% just by itself, and then we had one in late March that was 7%. I don't think Q3 will get anything material of that 7%, but it'll be vastly built on the 8%, which very little of Q2 was built on that 8% price increase. Is that help you kind of bracket that?
Yeah, really helpful, Gary. Appreciate that. And on June, I mean, are you closing in on those sort of target gross margins that you talked about?
Just closing in, not quite there.
Yeah.
Not quite there. you know, Q3 has a remote chance of being there, but it's probably going to be, I'd anticipate it not quite reaching in Q3, but Q4 it's absolutely going to reach and towards the upper end of that range, actually.
Yep. And Gary, I noticed in the Q, you made a mention that, and the margins looked great at Basics, that they've been able to kind of reprice maybe some or all of their backlog. What is it about that business and its ability to do that that you can't necessarily do in the core?
The core business is our clients provide a purchase order to us for a fixed cost at the advertised price the day it's effective, and we hold to that. Whereas Basics, they're dealing with the end user itself most of the time. They're not going through a sales channel partner that's going through a contractor base. And, you know, it's just a different strategy of go-to-market. So you're much closer to the end user in Basics' business model. That being said, they're able to set things in price because they have such a long duration. For instance, this $16.2 million contract, they do want it pretty quick, relatively as quick as we can build it, which is going to be Q1 of 23, maybe a little bit of it in Q4 of 22. But they have committed to us all the way through what they need for 2024. Well, they're not writing purchase orders to us yet because we need to negotiate what that price is. If we see an escalation in cost, then we have a formula we've discussed with them about how we very transparently, you know, so that we can maintain our margins. Well, that's just the difference in dealing with the end user that's actually purchasing the equipment as opposed to a mechanical contractor that purchases it from our sales channel partner and sells it to a general contractor who sells it to an owner. So there's just two or three steps that are removed in Basics process that allow that to happen. I hope
okay.
That cleared it up. Hope
okay,
it
thank
make you. It too cloudy for you.
It's good. It's good, Gary. No, I appreciate it. Any thoughts on chip plant legislation, what that might mean for the company, core or Basics?
Yeah, so Intel themselves have been a longtime client of Basics and some of their people there, other chip manufacturers as well. We're doing some clean room work with them now. We're looking at more. We're looking at doing, you know, makeup air units and things for them. Basically, they'd like for us to do probably more than we can. So that is going to be where I was talking about some of this more complex equipment that the Redmond facility is capable of building that we're not capable of building in any of the legacy Aon plants. So that's why moving some of the simple product that they were building in Redmond to an Aon plant is so sensible because it gives them manufacturing space and capacity for these very complex units. You know, these makeup air units for a chip manufacturer, they're monstrous, and they've got just an immense amount of piping and controls. And I mean, they're like giant equipment rooms. They assemble in two or three pieces, maybe four pieces sometimes. And in Redmond, they have the ability to put that whole thing together in one piece on the plant floor so that they make sure everything fits and aligns and all of that. We just can't do that in our other facilities.
Got it. Well, very interesting. Thank you for taking the question. I'll pass it on.
Yep.
And our next question will come from John Bratz with Kansas City Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Gary. Good afternoon, Gary and Rebecca.
Hi there. How are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Gary, did the supply chain issues that you have pressure your volumes at all? Were you at times unable to get some product out the door, and would volumes have been a little bit better in the second quarter?
Not significantly, John. The way it works, and I'll share this with you, every day at a bit after 6 o'clock, our director of manufacturing sends me a report that how many units came off of what line, how many total units he shipped, and what the total dollar volume is. Okay, that's in the Tulsa plant. and then I get the same thing from the Longview plant. Well, we have expected dollars per day. And when I see it right on that, I don't have any questions. When I see it under that, I usually put a question mark, and then I get a report back that'll say, you know, short some parts, this, that, and the other. Well, then one or two days later, I see a great big number come in. So they had, you know, some number of units that were 99.9% completed waiting on this 0.1% part. They couldn't send it to shipping, so it wouldn't qualify for this report. So I'm seeing things delayed 2-3 days at the most.
Okay.
But I'm not seeing things weeks or months.
Yep.
You know, and I get this report, you know, I'm looking at them here, 608, 622, 604, you know, just after 6 o'clock every night. And I just eagerly anticipate that report. And mostly the numbers are what I expect. And we've increased production even more in August than what we did. July increased production over June. And August is increased again. Now, part of this is tempered by price because we're getting that 8% higher price on a lot of this. So, you know, I have to go back and do some, I call it napkin math, to get me back to see what my actual volume growth is. But we're certainly getting volume growth too. We've gotten more people on the plant floor. We've gotten them up to speed where they're productive now. And so, you know, that's why we're very confident that we've turned the corner on the worst part of this. And the other thing, I don't know how much of this we described in the queue. I think we described it. We had an 8% price increase in January, a 7% in March. But starting June 1st, we were going up 1% per month until further notice. Well, what this amounted to was once we got the 8% on the plant floor and got the 7% on the plant floor, I felt like that we had caught up and maybe even got a little ahead of the price cost scenario with gross margin, that we should be towards the upper end of our range is my anticipation from everything that we're projecting. Well, as that occurred, I said, well, if we're at 9% inflation rate, that's almost, you know, that's what, 0.75% a year. I'd like to stay just a little ahead of that. I want to go up 1% a month. So I think we're between the guardrails on the range of gross margin that we anticipate is our preferred range. We're going to end the year probably towards the higher end of that range. But that 1% per month is going to keep us there from now on out. And, you know, especially with materials, steel, copper, and aluminum have all subsided in pricing. Components have not, however. Motors, compressors, variable frequency drives, you know, all the electrical stuff. It's still going up, but when you take it in total, and I just did this analysis with our people earlier today, we're kind of flattish on material cost right now at this point in the game.
That's good. Good. A couple questions on BASX. When you acquired BASX, you had expressed the hope that that as part of Aon, you will be able to work with larger customers, larger data centers. Number one question, are you seeing that coming to fruition? And then secondly, BASX was doing sort of about $100 million in revenue, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Given the strength of their business, what's happening in Longview, how do you see that revenue potential now at BASX relative to when you acquired them?
Well, let's do two things. You had two questions there,
yep.
So I'll bifurcate them. So the first one is absolutely. So this data center customer that gave us the $16.2 million order for a BASX product, for 15 years they've been buying Aon for their ancillary areas, but they've never bought Aon or Aon affiliated for their core data hall. So we're still supplying them, you know, legacy Aon equipment for their building pressurization and humidity control, but now we're providing them equipment for the core data hall. And that was the target. That was the whole concept, was that these customers that we had for, you know, many years, we had a very, very small footprint of participation of their HVAC needs, and now we can take care of a huge tranche of their needs. So there's the first customer that signed up with us with Basics as a result of that. Now, we've got multiple other customers that are in the same scenario. Those are some of the negotiations I feel very confident that we're going to have a favorable outcome, is because they've been Aon customers for many years, been very, very confident respectful of what Aon's done for them, and we have a mutual respect for each other. And now that we're in this business and we've proven that, you know, with Basics we can do this, we're getting these opportunities. Now let's talk about the revenue synergy to it. So Basics was, we'll say, you know, roughly $100 million anticipated revenue for 22. And I think that's still going to be relatively close. I think they might be right in that range. As you saw, they did, they've done, what, nearly half that so far this year. What have they done so far, Rebecca?
$12 million.
No, for the year, Basics revenue.
Oh, I'm sorry, that was gross profit. Yeah, $45.5 million.
So they've done 45.5, and they're accelerating. So they're probably going to end up, you know, just north of $100 million. Now, when we build this Basics product in Longview, it won't go on Basics P&L because it's built in the Longview plant.
Yep.
It'll go on their P&L. So we'll be giving commentary to that to show you what that is. But right now, the Longview plant is also growing tremendously. What's our volume this quarter on Longview? You segment that out.
Yeah, we do.
Should have been about 27 million. Where is it? Well, Rebecca's looking for that. So the thing is Longview is running on pace to do 100 million, which is doubling their business. Mm-hmm. But this opportunity to build these computer room air handling units there is going to double that.
Yeah, okay.
41.9% increase in units sold for Longview.
Yeah, but that still didn't give me the volume of. We're running at a pace to do just right at 100 million in Longview in the legacy product. And then this new product, it won't have a material impact on 2022. We're going to build prototype units for testing next week,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to bring that owner in to review those because there's two different ways that we've explored building it, and from a cabinet construction methods, and we're going to make some decisions on it, and then we'll probably get everything together supply chain wise, and we might deliver some units in December, but I don't really look to deliver too much before that. They really don't need units until May of 23. They're looking at how they can store them before that. We'd like to materially build that order in January and February, and then that allows us to really get the year started building, you know, $8-10 million a month of those kind of products in okay. addition to the $10 million or so of legacy products.
Yep. Okay. All right. Sounds great. Gary, thank you very much.
Thank you, John.
There are no further questions at this time. This will conclude the question and answer session. I'd like to turn the conference back over to the company for any closing remarks.
All right. Thanks, Cole. I'd like to thank everyone for joining on today's call. If anyone has any questions over the coming days and weeks, please feel free to reach out to myself. Have a great rest of the day, and we look forward to speaking with you in the future. Thanks.
Bye.
The conference is now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect your lines at this time.